afraid. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Ron is dead.
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox. Let's go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Walt Dick, but yeah.
Well, that's why they call me Cudsy.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
I'm picking the Philadelphia 76ers to go all the way to the finals.
Philadelphia's just a better team.
Nothing you can do.
There's nothing they can do.
I am of the belief that the Philadelphia 76ers are the team to beat, and they are going to the finals.
Listen, the Sixers are a better team.
Ben Simmons is a superstar.
The Sixers might be the best team in the Eastern Conference.
I believe that the Sixers are going to knock off LeBron James in the Eastern Conference Finals. Go Celtics!
Here comes Smart to slap the ball away to Tatum. Loads it ahead of Marcus Smart. Smart shovels it back to Tatum for a two-hand slam. Tatum racing with Simmons, keeps it himself, scores it off the window. What a foot race up the floor. Smart dribbles to the right, attacks the paint, goes out to Rozier. Up big, step to his left on Covington. Back in the air, got it!
Terry Rozier!
Scary Terry. Horford kick out to Jaylen Brown for three. Ben Simmons push pass for Embiid. Now Sarge. Ball slapped away by Horford and Rozier's got it. Horford making plays. Rozier attacks the paint. Hangs in the air. Finger roll off the window and in.
Ooh, Al Horford coming through again.
Horford is smart. Bounce pass. Here's Tatum. Tatum attacks the paint. Lobs it for Al Horford and throws it down with two hands.
The Sixers might be the best team in the Eastern Conference.
Right hand dribble gets away from Simmons. Attacks the paint and misses the layup. But Marcus Smart is there to make the play. Offensive rebound put back. We are tied at 109.
Bring that banner home, baby!
Rozier, right-hand dribble, down to the corner, bounce pass to Horford, swung to Smart, zips the entry, Tatum catches, keeps it away from McConnell, and scores off the window.
Ooh.
And Brett Brown does not want to use his last timeout until the ball comes across half court, and he will use it now with 18.8 to go. Marcus Smart making Marcus Smart plays.
Talk about the atmosphere tonight. It seemed pretty loud.
It was okay. Our fans are louder than that, so.
Your fans are louder?
Yeah.
Out of bounds off Embiid. Celtics ball.
Wow.
And Embiid crashes to the floor, his hands over his head, not believing the opportunity that just slipped through his fingers. Simmons holding it. Long touchdown pass. Knocked away. Picked off by Marcus Smart. He fires the ball into the air and crashes to the ground as the Philadelphia 76ers season comes to an end. An instant classic of a series in a rivalry renewed. And the Boston Celtics have survived 4-1.
I am of the belief that the Philadelphia 76ers are the team to beat, and they are going to the finals.
The Boston Celtics are back in the Eastern Conference Finals, and now it's on to the Kings.
So many people, after Gordon got hurt and Kyrie and Smart went down and Tice, nobody expected us to go to the Eastern Conference Finals. So it just, continue to prove people wrong and, have fun while we're doing it.
The Sixers might be the best team in the Eastern Conference.
Good morning. We are the Touch and Rich radio program. 617-779-0985. And something that very few people, myself included, believed was going to happen, happened last night.
I was thinking about that last night, Fred. Who is on record? There's only one person I can think of that's on record as saying that they believed that the Celtics would make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. And that guy is Cedric Maxwell.
Yep.
Now, I think that might have been at the beginning of the playoffs, before he saw the matchups and things like that. But before the 76ers series, I don't think there was anyone. That Vegas line was pretty monumental. It was like a minus 370 or something like that. So, I mean, if you step back and look at where the Celtics are now and where we all expected them to be at the beginning of the playoffs, who the hell thought they'd get here? And the strangest thing about all of it is they have a legitimate shot to go to the finals.
Yeah.
Without Kyrie Irving, without Gordon Hayward, with all the crap they've been through, this beaten up, battered team.
Once again, an underdog.
A legitimate shot of going to the finals.
You take a look at who they had on the bench last night. They really have almost no one.
They played seven guys.
Ogele makes eight.
Oh, okay.
Ogele makes eight. Okay. I mean, if you want to include his participation, that's fine.
Sure.
The only guy that didn't play that you thought might have, could have played is Greg Monroe, who saw a spot time in this series at best. Maybe he plays more against Cleveland, but this is a skeleton crew that is out there right now.
But it's insane. It's insane when you think about like how the 76ers before this series, were they 16-1?
Yeah.
Had they won 16 out of 17 games?
They won 16 in a row to end the season and then won 24 out of 5 to...
24 out of 25, right?
Okay, so that would be 20-1.
It's 20 out of 21 before the series
started. So they won 20 games out of 21 before they played
the Celtics.
The one loss was because
Miami beat them in one of the games in the first round.
Yeah, in one of the ones there. That's insane that the Celtics were able to win in five. That they were able to beat them in five. It's you have to step back because we've got to watch this and we've seen all these close and come from behind games. Mm-hmm. And other than the first one, I mean, it was every game was pretty much neck and neck. But the fact that they were able to pull that off, and think of like the ways that they won those games. When did they win them? Did they win them at the beginning? They win them in the middle? Nope. It was at the end of the games. And who do you credit with that? Who do you credit?
T.J. McConnell.
Right. Choking and... T.J. McConnell, a pain in the ass. Once again, a man who perpetually has eyes that look like a truck is coming out of
him. Last night, Redick kept getting into it. They didn't like each other.
Last night wasn't nearly as bad as far as McConnell's impact, and Redick did not show up.
No.
Biggest game of the season.
Did not show up. Dude, they figured out a way to defend him.
I think he had some chances, plenty of chances out there. And he did not. He had plenty of chances. The one big three he made was right at the end of the game to make it close. But I think Redick had more than his fair share of shots last night.
My point being, Brad Stevens is the reason that this team is here. And I don't think that's anybody, that's not a hot take at all. I think we all believe that. But now you're going to find out who's more valuable, LeBron James to the Cavaliers or Brad Stevens to the Boston Celtics?
Well,
isn't it truly that is the most important factor on each team?
The weird part about this is, and I think we all agree, that the 76ers were more talented. They had more talent out there than
everyone
the Celtics.
Everyone agrees
did.
With you on
okay.
that.
Is that the case this round?
Without a doubt. Dude, they have the best player on the planet.
I understand that.
A man who can take over games.
Top to bottom. If you
snap
have
his fingers
LeBron and Kevin Love and who else?
Well, LeBron and Kevin Love are better than anyone on the Celtics.
I understand that. I'm not saying that's not the case.
They
clearly
have the two best
Cleveland
players.
Cleveland has the two best
the
players, but after that, there's a significant drop-off where the Celtics have five guys that are better than any of the other people after LeBron and Kevin Love.
Okay,
yeah,
I guess
that's
what
I'm saying.
But that's a huge drop.
I understand
that. You have
the
best player on the planet. Many people might argue the best player of all time who is playing the best basketball he's ever played
now. The thing about Cleveland is that the stars in the 76ers are young and couldn't take over games. LeBron James can completely take over, as we've seen. Dan, go ahead.
Freddie. You ready to admit you were wrong?
Dude, I admitted I was wrong halfway through the season.
He did.
You're talking about Tatum?
I'm absolutely talking about Tatum. The guy's a highlight reel. I mean, you see that they dropped that ball into him down to the low post last night to get that layup? I mean, it wasn't the game-winning basket, but it was a critical play. The guy is, I mean, how can you not look back and say he wasn't the best player in the draft? Right now,
I mean, without a doubt. I mean, look who was ahead of him.
No. I was completely. What do you think? I'm not that stubborn. Yeah, I was absolutely wrong.
There's only one other guy in the draft that was as good as Tatum this year, and that was Donovan Mitchell in Utah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the only other guy.
He was great, but I mean, ahead of him, you got Markelle Fultz, who's sitting there watching the game last night.
Lonzo Ball,
who is, his modeling career is taking off, so he doesn't have to worry too much about what's happening on the court.
He's in the... If you hate your mirror, he just looks at him and gets that job done. No, I was completely wrong about Tatum.
But think about that. I mean, and this isn't something that, once again, this is not hot takeville. They have a legitimate shot against the Cleveland Cavaliers. As a matter of fact, I think it's a pick 'em for game one.
What?
Yep. I believe you have a...
I'm surprised.
I believe it's a pick 'em game. Oh, I think I saw it last night.
By the way, real quick, speaking of spreads, I got a phone call from a friend of mine who put some money on the game last night, the Celtics game last night. The spread was Celtics minus 1.5.
Oh, really? The Celtics were favored last night?
No, yep. And the reason I bring that up is Marcus Smart tried to miss that foul shot and made it.
That's a great point.
Oh, yeah, that right. was that's the right. cover for the Celtics.
You know, right. when Marcus Smart got
how
fouled
how much money
at the end?
Changed hands when he deliberately tried to miss that shot and made the foul shot? That was the difference.
That was the best. I was like, oh, of all the people that could have gotten fouled, why they put Marcus Smart the line? And then he misses the first one. And then when he one time he tried to screw up, it actually went in.
Everyone in Vegas started screaming when he made that shot.
Oh, it's funny. I didn't know it was a point and a half.
Yeah, it was a point and a half.
So he screwed him. Marcus Smart screwed everybody. Tom, go ahead.
Hey, what's up,
Tom?
Real quick, I'm not saying anybody on the show right now is saying this, but and I'm just saying it for the Celtics fans that are going to call in today and start to talk about the possible, oh, do we really need Kyrie Irving? Do we really need Gordon Hayward? Like, just enjoy what you're freaking seeing. Last night was phenomenal. The fact that they got by this, I was on board with Stephen A. I thought the Philadelphia 76ers had a chance to go to the finals.
So did I.
The fact that LeBron has no one in Cleveland besides Kevin Love over there, Droopy McGee over there, and the Celtics had no stars. At the end of the day, talent wins in the NBA. What the Celtics are doing defies the logic of that league has been built on for the last 30, 40 years. So just enjoy what you're seeing. I know there's going to be fans here today. They're going to sit there and say, let's sign Terry Rozier over Kyrie Irving. Like, just enjoy it. It's phenomenal what the Celtics are doing. They can take Cleveland to the brink. Do I think they're going to win? Probably not, because LeBron's the best player on the planet and will probably raise this game to another level like he always does. But it doesn't mean that I don't want to see the Celtics keep fighting like the way that they have. It's remarkable what they're doing.
Well, the exciting thing is not to get rid of Kyrie Irving, which, I mean, they're not going to do, is that you get two stars back in the offseason, and then you can move Tatum to the bench, and, you know, Tatum can be your sixth man, and that is a very interesting
team. That's the thing. Philadelphia had as good a shot as they're going to have for a while.
Unless they get LeBron.
Unless they get LeBron. But
right.
Think about it.
But I'm with you.
Sixers had the better team, and they lost in five games, and now the Celtics get significantly better next year.
That's the fun.
Yeah.
The fun is not dismantling the team and saying, here's what we have. I mean, what are you going to get rid of Kyrie Irving for? I mean, you're going to trade him for what, picks?
I don't think anyone will call in and say that today.
Unless
there's an Anthony Davis situation.
Yeah, here we go. Enough of it.
I have not given up hope.
Now's the time to bring that up.
That's what's exciting. This is a team without its, arguably its... two best players or two of the three best players on this team.
Well, we have Danny Ainge on at 9 o'clock, and I'll ask him whether Hayward's going to come back for this. I have to stick with tradition.
Toucher and Rich.
Self-help shenanigans.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed with Toucher and Rich.
At 5, the Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich and the Celtics won, and now it's time for me to take my comeuppance. 617-779-0985. Danny, go ahead.
Danny. Peter Gammons. Ebenezer Scrooge.
Someone's playing the bongos. Is this someone from the band Guster?
I was thinking more of like the ghost of Christmas past showing up with
I always think everything is Guster.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's the first thing I think of in any sort of scenario. What would Guster do?
Is that Guster? Every soundtrack, hey! Guster. Yes, indeed. They're great.
They're still playing around here, as a matter of fact. Well, how the hell are the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals?
Smart tried to miss it on purpose, and he made it. It rattled in. So the Sixers are going to get a look here. Down by two with 2.4 to go here at the end of game five. Simmons holding it. Long touchdown pass. Knocked away. Picked off by Marcus Smart. He fires the ball into the air. It crashes to the ground as the Philadelphia 76ers season comes to an end. An instant classic of a series in a rivalry renewed. And the Boston Celtics have survived four games to one.
Believe it or not, the Boston Celtics have defeated the Sixers in five games and are now moving on to the Eastern Conference Finals. And it was a total team effort, except for Marcus Morris. He wasn't good at all. But two players who
have been very cold.
Yeah, I mean, as cold as it could possibly be. And he was making horrible defensive mistakes and committing like bad, ill-advised fouls.
When your bench is shortened to the point where Marcus Morris is getting a lot of minutes, even though he's destroying your team.
He's but the thing is, though, is that he's one of those guys that out of nowhere, he'll just be on fire.
I know, and he brings the grittiness, and I understand all that.
But last night, my God.
Last night, he did not deserve to be on the court.
No, he did not. But two players who have been reliable as they can be on both the offensive and defensive ends are these two.
Puts in the hands of Redick. Challenged by Rozier. Into the shot clock. Bounce entry. Sarge turns the face on Smart. Bumps him twice, bumps him, knocks him over. Ball is free and Horford pounces on it. Horford, offensive end, shovels to Rozier. Rozier going to pull it back here with 31 seconds to go in a tie game. Rozier, right-hand dribble, down to the corner, bounce pass to Horford, swung to Smart, zips the entry. Tatum catches, keeps it away from McConnell and scores off the window.
Well, the Celtics youth crushed it once more. Jason Tatum with 25 points and Jaylen Brown with 24 on 10 for 13 shooting, including 3 for 4 from three-point range. But it was Marcus Smart that made Cedric Maxwell lose his mind.
Tatum, right-hand dribble, gets away from Simmons, attacks the paint and misses the layup, but Marcus Smart is there to make the play on the inside. Offensive rebound put back, and with exactly 1 minute to go in Game 5, we are tied at 109.
Lean up, bow to catch up, bottle exploded.
Everybody on their feet here at the Garden.
He's running the greatest hits.
Catch up, bottle exploded. Woman on a period.
Well, Marcus Smart had a very Marcus Smart night.
The way they talk about it in the Midwest.
I've heard about that.
Okay. Ketchup on.
That's right. You know, I learned that in human growth and development.
I grew up on the East Coast. I really missed out.
That's right.
Well, you know, you got to travel.
Wow. I need a permission slip to take that class in sixth grade. Well, he was 3 of 8 from the field and scored 14 points while also posting 6 assists, 6 rebounds, and 3 steals. Marcus Smart also missed 5 free throws and made one when he tried to miss it, which is 2 seconds left, but damn it, that guy helps you win games. And he pissed off all the bettors of America, as we mentioned before, because of that shot. As far as Joel Embiid, the guy was a stud, but how fantastic was it that his choke at the end might have cost them the game?
Embiid bumps him, gets in deep, pulls it up, no good, scramble for the rebound. Embiid has got it, knocked away by Rozier, out of bounds off Embiid, Celtics ball.
Wow.
And Embiid crashes to the floor, his hands over his head, not believing the opportunity that just slipped through his fingers.
Tried to get that contact, tried to get the harm. Terry Rozier came on the backside and knocked that basketball away. Look at the ball. Look at the, just knocked the ball away.
And Aaron Baines, the number one defensive player in the NBA all year.
So how is Aaron Baines the number one defensive player in the NBA?
Defensive rating.
Grandy.
For 100 possessions.
Got some weird stat.
Okay, because like if you look at the plus minus the series, Aaron Baines is pretty bad.
Points per 100 possessions, points the other team scored while you're on the floor per 100 possessions.
Okay, Rich, it's a delicious stat.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a delicious stat. Chris, go ahead.
Hey, guys. I was calling Fred because I watch a show before I go to work in the morning, and I'm curious, what is everybody going to call the show and call you out on?
Oh, well, first of all, I thought Tatum was a bad pick at 3. I thought that he only had a mid-range game that wasn't going to translate to the NBA, and then, which is really dumb. I missed that completely. And then I thought Philadelphia was going to win the series, which I don't think is that.
But let me defend you
outrageous.
For a moment. The Tatum thing, you completely said you were wrong like 2 months into the season.
No. But I was wrong about. I mean, no, that doesn't matter. I mean, I that was just evident.
Understood.
That was evident.
Sure.
I mean, I was wrong about it, and I thought Philadelphia would win the series.
And by the way, I think everyone essentially thought that Philadelphia was going to win. That's why this win is so unbelievable.
Well, yeah, that's not as egregious. I mean, my Tatum opinion, which I'm telling you why I thought so, and I don't think the reason I thought so is like completely asinine, but he obviously they knew more about him than I did.
By the way, I was talking about Aaron Baines and, you know, the best defensive player in the league and things like that. So I was looking at the plus minus, and whatever you think about the plus minus, it is kind of funny because if one's like extremely in one way or the other, you can buy into it. You obviously know the value of the person when they're playing. Okay, who do you think had the best plus minus of both teams during this series?
McConnell.
McConnell. He had a plus 41,
yeah,
and he was only 1 point more than a Celtic. Who would that be?
Semi Ojeleye.
No, I don't think he played enough. Because
Tatum.
Al Horford. Al Horford had 40. And then it goes Tatum plus 34, Rozier plus 22. And at the very bottom, somebody who just did not do himself any favors throughout this series, other than he had several wide-open dunks last night, would be Ben Simmons. They had a plus-minus of he had a plus-minus of negative 63 when he was on the court and a plus 48 when he was on the bench.
He was getting the thing about the Celtics, and you they all said it afterwards, they didn't want any part of any more games of this series because as the series went on, it was evident that the Sixers, who were so young at the beginning and looked like they were in awe of the situation, they were getting comfortable. Dario Saric was getting better progressively. I thought Simmons played pretty well last night.
Well, Simmons had like how many wide open dunks? Yeah. It was like four.
Yeah.
And that was on the Celtics.
Well, Barkley scared me going into the game.
I saw
when
this
he was
too.
When he was bringing up the Golden State-Cleveland series when they were up 3-1 and saying that last night was a must win. Because you start thinking about it and you go, all right, well, they've won two in a row. They're going back to Philadelphia. The Celtics have struggled on the road in the playoffs.
He actually accidentally said it was a must win for the Sixers, but I think we all know what he meant. But it was kind of funny hearing him say
fair
that.
Fair enough.
I agreed with him. I agreed with him. Celtics lose last night. They go to Philadelphia for game six. They haven't played. They had one road win the entire playoffs. So that was
But it was against the Sixers.
I understand that, but circumstances have changed.
Celtics were going to lose four in a row. They weren't going to lose four in a row.
What? No. I think that was certainly a legit possibility.
You would think
absolutely.
That, but if they lose last night, they're not favored in Philadelphia. And then you come back from a game seven, and it's one of those things where anything could happen. I think last night was a big game.
I watched Saric. I watched Simmons. I mean, Embiid was a constant. He was good in all of the games.
Right.
I watched Saric and Simmons. They both looked progressively more comfortable as the series went on. This team is growing up. Right before us. I mean, they'll be better next year, so will the Celtics. But as far as the Sixers are concerned, this is valuable playoff experience for them.
Well,
I thought if this series went further, the Celtics were going to be in some trouble.
Well, we will get to some of the post-game sound afterwards. It was excellent, including some of the 76ers. That there's some guys you might have hated, but they become a little more likable when you hear what they had to say about the game, about the series, and about the Celtics. On top of that, you had somebody crash in the post-game. Somebody sound the comedy horn because it got a little wacky backstage.
Is it Bledsoe?
Oh, yeah. Bledsoe Comedy Jam.
Does Bledsoe have nothing going on?
No. See, I understand why he was there, and jeez. I kind of thought it was, you know, interesting because him and Terry Rozier have this new relationship thing going on.
Had him in to promote that.
I saw somebody tweet last night. Yeah. If you're, what's his name, Bledsoe from the Bucks, you're sitting there going, when is this joke going to end?
Yeah. like Bledsoe's so overwhelmed that Rozier wore his jersey?
Apparently.
No. I mean, it's more than that. It's that he called him Drew Bledsoe by accident
still,
the first time.
It is
a little weird, and it gives. And you saw the hat Bledsoe had on and the shirt he had on promoting his wine company on national television.
Well, let's get to the post-game press conference after the...
Okay, good.
After your headlines.
Sure.
Zolak had an erection the entire time. Here are the headlines.
Oh, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for psychobabble horse crap.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Celtics can take their largest lead if Baines can make the free throws. And Joel Embiid, welcome to the long and storied history of very good players on the other side to get their own specific chant from a Boston crowd.
Embiid is imploring the crowd to keep giving it to him.
A-Rod, Derek Jeter, the list goes on and on, and Embiid joins it.
98.5, The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Obviously, last night, 114-112 victory for the Celtics. Who would have thought they're going to the Eastern Conference Finals, where they will meet a red-hot Cleveland team. But after the game last night, Rich, there was some audio from the locker room.
Yeah, there was. And let's start with what was coming out of the Sixers locker room, because, as much as it was easy to hate Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. I thought afterwards they saved a little bit of face.
Embiid's funny.
Well, you see, I like Embiid because Embiid was talking about Terry Rozier was too short or whatever. But, I mean, on the court, the guy is obviously somebody who is a perfect – he's going to be a perfect guy that you're going to love to hate for years to come. I'm so glad that he is as good as he is because it's going to continue to be a rivalry for a while. And if they get LeBron James, that's going to be a pain in the ass. But either way, after the game, he did say – show a little bit of respect to the crowd at TD Garden.
I love it. I've said this before. I thrive in that type of situation, you know, just being on the road. And I think the whole season, my numbers are actually better on the road than at home because I just get riled up. And when they act like that and they say that I suck, I mean, I just want to show them that, I don't. It's just fine to me.
I just want to show I don't really suck.
No,
even though you're saying I suck.
You have to. Yeah, it's getting very personal.
Yeah. Right?
The road crowd is saying that I suck. Now I will prove it to you. That is not the case.
And then there's the opposite. A guy who I think the crowd truly does get in his head. That being Ben Simmons. But he had this to say about the crowd afterwards.
Yeah, I think we're in a hole too deep that we put ourselves in. And, you know, coming into this building arena, the fans are amazing. Here they're loud. You know, they talk a lot of to you. So on that basis, it's hard to play here.
The Sixers
fans. If I'm Brett Brown, that's exactly what I want to hear.
Yeah.
That's my prize point guard.
Yeah. They are going to love that this morning. They're going to love that, all you Sixers
Remember
fans.
Remember what I said about Simmons being comfortable?
Because, no, it's hard to play here, man.
That's not good.
He like the jeers.
Oh, man. It's literally a tale of two players.
Yeah, jeez. When he gets jeered. He does not care for that.
Embiid's like, it's like Popeye spinach, you know? People yell at me and I become Superman. But, you know, Ben Simmons is like, nah, I get rattled. I'll be honest with you. It's not a fun place to be.
The raspberries from the crowd were affecting every aspect of his game.
Oh, I guess boy. They were. And Brett Brown, man, that guy obviously is, people are crapping on Brett Brown. I mean, what he did this season was pretty impressive. I mean, he got him to the third place in the league. I mean, the Celtics are a tough team. We know that. And there were some dumb calls that he made. But as a whole, I mean, I know people in Philadelphia are calling him for to get fired, which I think is ridiculous.
Well, he's not going to get fired, but he screwed up games 1 and 2.
Yeah, and there's still some question as to what kind of head coach he is. Is he the developmental coach, or is he a guy that can be both that and a guy who takes the team to the next level? I mean, some could argue that the team just arrived. I mean, they got it all together. It wasn't necessarily Brett Brown. It was the players finally maturing at the right time.
He just won his first playoff series, and the reason I know that is because they poured a bunch of champagne and chocolate milk over his head.
Sure.
Like a bunch of dummies who drop confetti after game three. So here's
not even after.
What is he, an alcoholic?
I don't know why chocolate milk, but
he must be an alcoholic.
I don't know.
I'm guessing it's an alcoholism.
I thought it was like an inside joke. Maybe it is. But here is
it's alcoholism.
Okay.
Okay.
You're shaking your head for the people listening. Here is Brett Brown afterwards. By the way,
if we're gonna do anything of any significance, we're always going to have to go through the Boston Celtics. And I respect very much this organization. I think Danny and Brad are fantastic. You know, you're always looking over your shoulder and watching how they've decided to grow their program. And this was a hard-fought series.
And one moment that was kind of cool after the game is because of just how well he does on the court, you sometimes forget just how young Jason Tatum is. And afterwards, he was being interviewed on TNT, and he was being asked about Brad Stevens and LeBron James. And does this not sound exactly like a kid who has done this for the first time and can't believe that he's going to the Eastern Conference Finals?
Brad Stevens, let's get more detail. Like, what is he doing to empower each and every one of you to be the best player you can be, even exceeding the expectation of others?
I don't know. He just draws up the best players. Like, I don't know how he does it.
You got the Cavs next, and LeBron has been a machine. What kind of effort will it take to at least make him uncomfortable?
You know, it's my first year, so I don't know. I don't have an answer. But, you know, we're going to enjoy this tonight, and, you know, we're going to get to practice tomorrow, you know, talk about it. You know, we're going to try to figure it out.
He was just looking around and smiling and couldn't quite, you know, he's like, I can't believe that we did this.
Yeah, that Cleveland series is going to be interesting.
It's
going to
be tough as hell.
Yes, I'm not overly optimistic on that series.
Do you think they'll get more than the one game they got off them last year?
Yes. Yeah, there's not going to be any 40-point blowouts.
I do, too. I think this series, despite the fact that Celtics have, I think, maybe eight players, now seven they could probably play per game in this series, will do better than last year.
Yeah, I think that, you know, get six games. Cleveland's playing very, very well.
No, Cleveland's playing really well. The biggest difference is instead of 6'4" Marcus Smart and 6'2" Avery Bradley chasing LeBron around, you actually have a bigger guy, Marcus Morris, can chase him around, or Jalen Brown. Yeah, I mean, you have some length out there. Maybe you can slow him down to the point where you can force Kevin Love to beat you.
I just think you've got three guys you can throw at LeBron, and that's
three guys that aren't 6'4" and under.
Right.
Well,
Which is different than last year.
Marcus Smart's under 6'4".
Whatever the case may be. The point is you actually have some length on the wing.
He looks bigger, but they say he's 6'3".
I've got a picture standing next to him. He's not much taller than me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's 6'3" is probably right. He's probably right about 6'3". But we've learned that doesn't really matter with Marcus Smart. He just will attack you and will ram into you and do whatever it takes.
Yeah, but he's going to be physically overwhelmed. Listen, I've been wrong about a lot of things.
I take
the bullet for Jason Tatum. The Philadelphia, look, I'm glad I didn't put money on the series because I thought Philadelphia was the superior team.
Well, but in reality, they probably are.
Yeah, but this Cleveland series, with the way Cleveland's playing and the rest that they've had and the ability of LeBron James to walk.
He's conserving his energy.
I mean, that's what we learned from Brian Windhorst. Yeah. He does it better than anyone in the league.
He can conserve his energy. I think it's great that the young guys got to this point, and listen, I hope it goes. It's good for us. The more games they have, the better it is for us.
But it's not just like going into the Sixers series. I said that I thought the Sixers are going to win it, but I said it wouldn't be crazy if the Celtics did. I didn't think it'd be in five games. I mean, I thought it would have gone like seven games.
No one did.
But that's the way I'm looking at this Cavaliers series. I think Cavaliers, they have to be favored, but it wouldn't shock me if the Celtics won this. That's the crazy thing about all this. When I woke up this morning, I think, how unbelievable is it? Is that it's realistic that this Boston Celtics team could make it to the finals. That's insanity. When Kyrie Irving ended up getting injured and out for the season, would you ever have imagined in your wildest dreams that there was a chance that they could do that?
No.
And now you have a legitimate shot. It's going to be a tough road for Cleveland.
This is the best possible scenario for Celtics fans because they can watch this without getting their stomachs tied up in knots.
It's the second year in a row where you're playing without money.
Not expected to do anything in this series. And in reality, you probably should get a couple of games off this team.
So there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be outraged and shaking their fist this morning.
Happiness comes from feeling good about yourself.
Breaking the mold on sports radio in Boston.
Is that why I thought of Sesame Street?
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ben Simmons, push pass for Embiid. Now Sarge, right hand dribble to the top of the circle. Ball slapped away by Horford, and Rozier's got it. Horford making plays. Rozier attacks the paint, hangs in the air. Finger roll off the window and in.
Man, Al Horford coming through again.
A dominant sequence and a dominant playoff run for Al Horford of the Celtics. Score 10 straight.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and we will get to Drew Bledsoe. This is not paranoia. This is just curiosity. I'm leaving the parking lot yesterday, and I see John Wallach talking to Rich in his automobile. Regarding what?
Well, he's brought some games in for the guys today for the Boston Uprising. He has some classic arcade games. Like those ColecoVision, not ColecoVision, what are they called?
Hang on.
These things?
All right, you don't have to go over it. Okay. I thought that there was subterfuge.
No, there's like these, he's got those like old school football games. By the way, we have the members of the Boston Uprising coming in at 9, which is fairly appropriate because all the news today is about how the Red Sox are apparently all addicted to Fortnite.
I told you that game.
You did.
I told you that game is the devil's playground.
You did tell us that.
And what did we hear yesterday Alex Cora say that David Price's problem is with his hand? Carpal tunnel.
Yep.
Which is something that could or could not, you know, be caused by playing video games.
Interesting. I talked to two doctors yesterday. One thinks it could be from Fortnite and one thinks it might just be because pitches a lot.
Okay, nobody plays more video games than these guys we're having in. They do professional. By the way, there was a picture that I saw Joe Murray tweet out last night.
I saw this picture too.
There was this Boston Uprising team was at the Prudential, and there was a line like throughout the mall to meet these guys.
I saw that.
And they are rock stars.
Yeah. Fair enough. I don't like it. That Fortnite game is all any kid talks about. We had a baseball game yesterday. They all run around like jackasses talking about Fortnite. I can't stand it. I don't know. Whoever invented Fortnite is brilliant because it's so incredibly addictive that, and then, because it's free, but then they get you. Because you got to buy stuff to get to level better. Up.
Well, I mean, so these guys are the game Overwatch, which is, I think, almost as addictive. But Fortnite, as you said, has crept into kids. Like, kids all love Fortnite. I think Overwatch might be a little like too intense for a lot of kids, but I think Fortnite, everyone could play.
Yeah.
But if there's anyone who has played enough video games to possibly get carpal tunnel, because how ridiculous would that be if it ends up that the reason David Price is having issues with his hand is that he's playing too many video games?
It's happened to major leaguers before.
Has it? I don't know.
There's a very famous Detroit reliever. Remember that guy, Zamaya?
Yeah.
Who wrecked his elbow because he was playing Guitar Hero.
Yep.
Okay. It was his elbow, right?
Yeah.
Zamaya could throw 100 miles an hour and ruined his career. Had to have Tommy John surgery eventually because his elbow was gassed from throwing those fastballs, and he wrecked his elbow because he was playing Guitar Hero.
Rich, if I go out there and I'm throwing 100 miles an hour, which is incredibly tough on your arm, and I'm pitching on a fairly regular basis because I'm a reliever, I need time for my arm to rest. I mean, it's obvious. So, but then I go home and start obsessively playing Guitar Hero.
Sure.
You don't give an arm opportunity to rest.
Okay, excuse my negligence of knowing about Fortnite, but is Fortnite a game that you play sitting down on your laptop, or is it a game you play with a controller? Doesn't that make a difference?
I don't know. You can play it on the computer, you can play it on an iPad, and you can play it on an Xbox or PlayStation.
Okay.
I assure you of that. My son is taking a 6-week break from Fortnite.
Is it a phone? Can you do it on your phone too? Like, does it go with you everywhere you go?
You can play it on your phone, but I don't. I know it's on my phone because everything that any kid downloads is on my stupid phone.
This is Xander Bogaerts. It's an article that was in The Athletic, and he said we all play every day. They said Fortnite Battle Royale is perhaps the world's most popular video game. They're talking about. The Red Sox have a Fortnite squad that covers an array of ages. The 32-year-old Price was a little late to the game. He heard teammates talking about it near the end of spring training and privately tested it out before trying to break into the team's PlayStation rotation. He practiced a bit with J.D. Martinez, a former Tigers teammate who signed with Boston as a free agent, and then we play on the field together at the hotel, on the road, or at home, and whenever we get home from the field. It's something that's kind of taken over, said David Price. Craig Kimbrell, Chris Sale, Matt Barnes, and Eduardo Rodriguez have helped them round out a regular Fortnite crew. Sale even bought himself an Xbox just to play the game.
Whoa, Sale, look at you dipping into that bank account.
Isn't bragging.
Buying a $300 Xbox.
Everybody's kind of into it, Barnes said. It gives us something to do outside the field. It's fun, and we're still hanging out. And it goes into how just competitive all of these guys are. And I guess Dustin Pedroia, I'm looking here, it says, isn't there? He goes,
That's why he's not back yet.
Maybe. But it is going to be good to have these guys in because I want to figure out, like, if anybody's played an enormous amount of video games, it's these guys. And I want to know if they know of anybody who has indeed gotten carpal tunnel syndrome from playing the types of games that they're playing.
Nate, you are on the air.
Is he putting it up?
I don't know. I don't think it's funny all of a sudden that this is starting to come out. I don't know if you've noticed that. When these guys get hits, especially, like you said, Xander Bogaerts and Rafi Devers, Hanley Ramirez, they get on base, and they're doing these little dances that are all they're correlating to the game and the characters, the dances that they do in the game.
Can I ask you a question? Is that the one where you, like, do your hands in front of you? God, I'm old.
Yeah, the little L over your head with the little dance.
Okay, because every kid on my baseball team does that on a constant basis.
What is the move?
That was already a thing that was going on. I mean, people have been hyped up about the game, but then they see the players doing it. And I've been watching that since the start of the season, like, oh, man, look at this. This thing is really blown out of proportion. And I'll be curious to see if after everything that's come out, that they'll continue to do that. I'll let you guys talk about that.
Well, I mean, I'm not somebody who doubts that David Price is hurt, I just don't believe he's skipping starts because he's afraid. I believe, and if you have tingling in your hand, listen, man, if you're a pitcher, everything is a concern. So I don't doubt that, but I do believe it's from Fortnite. I mean, the major league pitchers, unless you pitch for Matheny and you can throw 100 miles an hour, are coddled. And, I mean, for good reason.
Well, I mean, right now, as we speak, I'm sure Kurt Schilling is emailing all these guys asking, hey, you want to invest in a video game company?
Yeah.
I thought of the new Fortnite.
Yeah, good. Kurt Schilling.
Sure.
See, I got this state that might give us some cash.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes.
I invented Fortnite, except for the enjoyability of it.
Or just the release of it.
Yeah. Oh, he suck. Why'd you have to bring him up? Now I can think of his poo in underwear. Him sitting there with his big stained with crap tighty whities. He just, every time I see him, I think that he's crapped himself.
That's the first thing you think?
Yeah.
He's got that look.
No, just this is a slob with, and I am too, but I don't crap myself with getting it all worked up and riled up.
Well, we've seen him eating his own boogers on his video podcasting that he did that one time.
Yeah.